So as Alf said, this is Pentecost Sunday, and last week we began our series, Life in the Spirit. Today we want to look at this idea of fighting off the flesh. Fighting off the flesh. Anybody need some help? Yes, Lord. Our desire is to see the people of Tabernacle Community Church live out life in the Spirit. As followers of Jesus, we have been endowed with the person of the Holy Spirit. He is our sanctifier. He is the one who subdues our sinful nature. And he causes the fruit of righteousness, he causes Christ-likeness to manifest itself in our lives. Life in the Spirit is living in the reality of God's creative work, new creative work in our lives. Tabernacle. May we be a people who follow the governing principle of allowing the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us into all of what life is meant to be. So I ask you to take a moment. Take a moment to assess areas in your life. Take a moment to think about various aspects of your life, in your marriage, in your relationship with others, on your job, in a relationship with those who have offended you. Do you see fruit? Or do you see the deeds of the flesh? You know those people who are part of the other political party? Do you see deeds of the flesh? Do you see fruit of the Spirit? So the Galatians, the church at Galatia, the churches in Galatia, the converts were insecure about moral guidance. They were insecure about how to fight off the flesh. So factions, conflict, division started to grow in the churches of Galatia. Does that sound familiar to anybody? The Judaizers were taught that the law of Moses was to be God's moral guide. They contended that if you followed the law of Moses, that it would in fact enable the Galatian converts to fight off the flesh. But Paul teaches us in the book of Galatia that the answer is not the law of Moses, but that the answer is found in surrendering our lives to the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. That the life of freedom that God has in store for us, that God intends for us, is found when we walk in step with the Spirit. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And this freedom that he wants us to live in, there was this growing sense of fear among the people of God. That these new Christians would in fact listen to Paul's message, hear Paul's message about freedom, and begin to be concerned that people will live and do whatever they want to do. And so there's two ways to respond. Either you respond by not having any moral value and being what's called a libertine, or you go to the exact opposite extreme and you become very legalistic in trying to accomplish God's moral law. And Paul says it's not either or. Paul says in the way of the kingdom, there is a third way. And that third way is life in the Spirit. To walk in step with the Spirit. Here's what Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 13. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." So Paul begins by suggesting that this idea of Christian freedom, that you and I have been set free. We've been set free from slavery to the law. But the other side of that is that we have been called to serve the Spirit. And we've been called to serve one another. So although we have been set free from slavery to the law, God has called us to serve the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, and to love one another. It is the Spirit who teaches us to obey. God's most fundamental command, and that fundamental command, namely, is to love one another. See, here's something that we need to begin assessing in our lives. As followers of Christ, are we growing in our love for others? When we engage in activities, are we becoming more loving in the process? As we're studying our Bibles and becoming astute in the Word of God, we can quote scriptures and we can name verses and we shout and we enjoy worship together, but are we loving more? Because it is the Spirit. It's the Spirit who teaches us to obey the fundamental command of God, which is to love one another. In fact, the text tells us that we ought to use our liberty not for our own fleshly desires. We are to use our liberty to serve God, to love others. The freedom that we've been given is for us to love one another. Christ does not and has not given us freedom for us to live selfishly. That is not why the freedom has been given to us. Here's my first point this morning. That you and I, as followers of Christ, are called to not indulge the flesh. We are called to not indulge the flesh, but to live a life characterized by love. Is your life characterized by love? Does that characterize your relationship with people in the world? It is so interesting that in this passage, in the context of this passage, that Paul talks about loving one another. When he talks about deeds of the flesh, when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the context is that we ought to love one another. So Judaizers argue that life apart from the law would in fact lead to indulgence. That life apart from the law would lead to people doing whatever they wanted to do, like this spiritual anarchy. That they would in fact take advantage of their freedom to do whatever they wanted to do. But our freedom was never intended to be a platform for sinful living. It was never intended to be a platform for our flesh to rule and to reign. And as Kevin mentioned last week, when we talk about this idea of flesh, we're talking about that nature that is within us, not our human bodies, but that nature that is within us that is in rebellion towards God. We're talking about the part of us who only wants to lean and depend upon our human resources instead of depending upon our divine resource. Holy Spirit says love. Love is the summary command. It is the summation of God's law. If we love God and we love one another, we have fulfilled the law of God. It is the summary command. And Galatians were called to serve one another in love. When we live in love, we fulfill the law of Christ. We fulfill the law of God. And God has given us the freedom. He has given us the freedom not to do what we want to do, but he's given us the freedom to love and to serve one another humbly. Then Paul says quickly in verse 15, he says, you want to see an example of living in the flesh? These are individuals who are fighting after one another. They're biting and devouring each other. There is no value in that. It is love that God calls us to. Now, Romans 5:5 tells us that we have the capacity to live out the law of love. Why do we have the capacity to live out the law of love? Because when the Holy Spirit was given to us, he poured out love into us. It's been poured into us. Now, why it ain't coming out? It's been poured out into us. We have the capacity to do this because the Spirit has empowered us. God, who loved us enough to pour his Holy Spirit in us to give us the power of the Holy Spirit, but he also poured his love into us. Now, when Paul, in Pauline theology, when Paul talks about love, Paul talks about love from an aspect of sacrificial love, love that is willing to lay down its life for the sake of another. When Paul talks about love, he says that it is the leading characteristic of the Spirit of God. When he talks about love, Paul is talking about a love that says, I'm willing to give and disadvantage myself for the advantage of another. When Paul talks about love, Paul is not talking about some passion. Paul is not talking about some feeling. Paul is talking about something that says, I'm willing to go the distance for the other. I'm willing to serve others. God's love for us has empowered us by the Holy Spirit as he's poured his love in us. He has awakened love within us. And so the text here that you and I are called not to indulge the flesh, but to live a life that is characterized by love. See, here's an example of flesh ruling and reigning. It's seen when we fight one another. It's seen when there is this internal fighting among the people of God. We've seen a lot of that. It appears that factions are growing in the church, that partisanship has taken over the rule and the reign of the people of God. When we start taking sides and not living in love, we're operating in the flesh. Here's my second point that I want to talk about today, and it's actually my final point.
It's going to take me a while to unpack it, though. Here's what Paul says, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Let's say that. Walk by the Spirit.
Walk by the Spirit.
And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You need to highlight this verse in your Bible. This is the answer to fighting the flesh. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So here's point two. Walking in step with the Spirit is the key. It's the key to not gratifying the desires of the flesh. It is the key. All right, so here's a few things I want to unpack. First and foremost, Paul does not say that you will not have desires of the flesh. So I want this. There is a difference between having desires and obeying those desires. I pray that that would release you today. I pray that that truth will give you freedom and liberty today. He did not say that you would not have desires. What he said is you don't have to obey those desires. Here's another point of clarification. Notice the order. Notice the order. He starts by saying what? Yeah, y'all with me? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire. See, the reason you gratify the desires of the flesh is because you're not walking by the Spirit. So notice the order. Many of us have switched the order in our practice. So what we've done is we've tried to fix the flesh and think that fixing the flesh then opens the way for the Spirit to do his work, and the Spirit is sitting on the sideline saying, when you gonna get done? Because as soon as you've done, I will give you the power to do what I've called you to do. But we've mixed it up. So we do stuff like this. We do stuff like, we get all holy and spiritual on Sunday. And then on Monday, we kind of operate on a different principle. Or you've had people, I've had people, like I've run into people while out in culture, and like, man, I haven't seen you in forever. Where have you been? I miss seeing you. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm kind of working on some things, trying to get some things right, then I'll be back to church. Well, that's the wrong principle. Stop trying to fix it. And spend time with the Lord in the Spirit, and he'll fix the thing that you're trying to fix. Stop running from the place where the answer comes from. So we have to live in recognizing the order that is described in the text. The text sets the order. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Not only is the order important, but the promise is important. The promise is important. When you're fighting the flesh, the promise is to walk in step with the Spirit. Paul is offering the church a different approach. Instead of people trying to fix themselves by living out God's law, trying to do the right thing, Paul gives them a different approach.
He says, begin to align your decisions, your choices, your life in alignment with God's word, with God's spirit.
All right.
So here it is. I'm going to give you three steps. Here it is. The first thing that you have to do is discover what God's truth is. Whatever the thing is that you're struggling with, that you're dealing with, you need to discover what is God's truth about that thing. Okay? Now, that's your work. This is how you cooperate with the Spirit. Discover God's truth. So, if lust is a problem, discover God's truth about lust, pride, whatever it is. When you discover what God's truth says about that, your next thing is to then respond like Jesus would respond to God's will. Respond to the truth that you've discovered. Respond like Jesus. Don't just respond. Respond like Jesus. Like, how would Jesus do it? He would do it. Respond like Jesus. Here's the third step. Because the reality is that when we make a decision to respond to what we've discovered, the only way to actually do it is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit, God, this is what your word says. This is what I discovered that your word says. I want to obey like Christ would obey, but I can only do it if you give me the power to do it. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Okay, y'all can go home. But there's some bad news. Verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here's the bad news. There is a war going on inside of you. The flesh does what's contrary to the spirit. The spirit does what's contrary to the flesh. There is a battle that's going on. But here is the good news. The good news is that the spirit is a higher law, and that the spirit is more powerful than your flesh. Somebody should have said amen right there. Amen.
Amen.
The spirit is more powerful than the flesh. The law of the spirit is a higher law. You and I are no longer under a legal code of performance. But it is the spirit who keeps God's law in us, for us, and through us. He is the one who gives us the power to accomplish what God has called us to do. Somebody's sitting there like, man, I should have known this a long time ago. Why I've been fighting so hard? Now, all right, I'm running out of time. I'm always running out of time. And Brother Leroy is always giving me permission. Yes. The Christian life is intended to be lived under the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is intended to be lived consistently surrendering ourselves to the Spirit. That's God's intent. That's, God's plan. So in verses 19 through 23, all right, this is kind of the heart, the meat of this passage, 19 through 23. Paul gives us kind of this contrast between the flesh and the spirit. He gives us this contrast, and watch what he says. Now, I need you to understand this, that these lists are not exhaustive. They are not comprehensive, both in the flesh and the spirit, because there is conflict happening in the churches in Galatia. Paul is identifying things that have to do with interpersonal relationship. Remember, the context is love one another. Okay, are you all tracking with me? I just said a lot there. You tracking? Okay, all right. The acts of the flesh, circle acts, deeds, works, whatever your text says, whatever your translation says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. This list is not all of what happens and comes out of the flesh. He's just narrowing in on these particular things. 15 things identified there. 8 of them have to do with interpersonal relationship. But notice he says the acts, the works, the deeds of the flesh. There is a plurality. There is stuff happening all over the place. There is chaos identified here. Would you not agree? All of this comes from a human perspective. And then he talks about the contrast of that. Again, the list is not comprehensive. The list is not exhaustive when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, stop saying fruits of the Spirit. Yeah, fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, before I jump to that, I know you all are like, hey, he didn't say nothing about that last part, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, he was talking about the acts of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, he is not saying that they will not enter the kingdom of God. See, entering into the kingdom of God is based solely on the work of Jesus Christ. And it is based solely on the fact that he fulfilled God's law. If that's what he was talking about, it would dismiss everything else that he's taught us. When he talks about inheriting the kingdom of God, what he means is that it is not, you do not enjoy the benefits of what it means to be in the kingdom of God. When you live according to the flesh, you do not walk and operate in what it means to inherit the kingdom of God, the power that comes with that, the ability to overcome that comes with that, the ability to be able to go through the midst of a storm and not lose your way. That's inheriting the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is something that you live into right now, not just some future reality, but the power and the authority that comes in the kingdom. He says, you live in the flesh, you gonna miss out. Aren't you tired of missing out? Aren't you tired of being shaken here and there every time the wind blows? Don't you want to be able to stand firm? That comes when you've inherited the kingdom of God. Good God Almighty. Somebody ought to praise him right there. Somebody ought to praise God right there. All right, so I got to go back. So he talks about the deeds of the flesh. He talks about this chaotic reality of all of these things that just kind of all over the place, right? Then he says, the fruit of the Spirit, there is a singularity there. There is one tree that's spoken of there. One tree that displays nine various fruit. It is a picture of harmony. It is a picture of diversity and unity. It is a picture of the beauty of what it means to be in the Spirit of God. It is a picture of divine enablement. Where the flesh was focused on human-centered living, the fruit focuses in on divine enablement. See, fruit is something, it's almost passive. Now, when I say that it, there's a passivity, the text tells us in 24, 25, and 26, which you have to do. But right here, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit and how it is that the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives. There is a single tree. And what do we know about fruit? Fruit. Fruit will always reflect the nature of the tree. It will always reflect the nature of the tree. And so if the Spirit is the Spirit of love, then that ought be reflected in the fruit. Here's another thing we know about fruit. That fruit doesn't exist for itself. Fruit doesn't eat itself. Fruit exists for the benefit of another. Come on, Christian. Come on, Christ follower. Come on, people of God. When we are making decisions because all we care about is our own rights and our own freedoms and our own whatever, and we don't care about anybody else, that ain't fruit from the Spirit. Another thing we know about fruit is that fruit is a natural byproduct of being connected to the tree. John 15. Jesus says that if you ain't connected to me, you can't do nothing. But a branch that's connected to me, the life of the vine, flows through the branch. And guess what? You will bear much fruit. That's what Jesus said. Are you with me? All right. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the acts of the flesh, chaos versus God's enablement and unity. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. All right, so you crucify your flesh. You make a decision to deny yourself. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, how do we keep in step with the Spirit? First, what's the first thing we need to do? Discover what God's truth is. What's the second thing? Respond like Jesus will. Respond to God's will like Jesus. And then what's the third thing? Talk to the Holy Spirit. Pray. Ask Him to empower you to live out what you've discovered and what you've responded to. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the answer to the problem of fighting your flesh. Leaning on Him, depending on Him, and trusting Him. So the challenge for us is to be a people who will allow our lives to be centered on love and who will allow the Spirit of Christ to guide us and to direct us and to recognize that we have overcome the flesh, not in our own strength, but by the power of the Spirit. So when the Spirit begins to grow these virtues in your life, let me just give you a warning. Don't get big-headed. Don't start thinking you all that. Don't begin looking down on others. Because now you done moved over into the flesh. See how easy that is? Paul says, don't get conceited. Because the virtues that are in you, guess what? God made them in you. It is by the power of the Spirit that they are in you. So you know, I was getting all excited. Man, I've been a little more kind to people. I'm like, yeah. And then the Spirit reminds you, you can celebrate that, but just a reminder, that's me at work in you. That's me at work in you. This morning, as I was coming to church, the flesh reminded me of old sins in my flesh. And I had to remind Him that when I walk in the Spirit, I don't gratify the desires of the flesh. So I need to let you know, flesh, I need to put you on notice. That when we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word, and we are so grateful that You have set us free. And now as Your Spirit move in our midst, God, I pray that we would live in the liberty that You have called us to. Not a liberty to lord over others, not a liberty to position ourselves better than another, but a liberty that calls us to love one another and to humbly serve the other. God, may our lives be led and guided by Your Spirit so that You might be glorified. For Lord, it was declared today that the chief end of man is to glorify You. And God, our desire is to give people a correct view of who You are in the world. They've seen enough of the copy. They've seen enough of the distortion. And God, in some ways, we pray that You would forgive us because we too have contributed to the distortion. Thank You that the law of Christ now dwells in us, and may we lean and depend upon You, Holy Spirit, so that we may be faithful to the call that you've given us. Lord, we recognize that there is a battle going on inside of us. There is a civil war. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And now as we prepare to leave from this place, but never from your presence, God, may your favor rest upon us. And may we sense your presence with us every step of the way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.